And just pray as we look into his word this morning and think about his word that he'll show us a little bit more of his greatness and move us to respond as he would have us to. So we're in Luke chapter 15. I love the way that Jesus had in all these parables really of speaking to people and relating spiritual things to practical everyday parts of life. And one of the ways he often chooses to speak to us is this picture of the shepherd and the sheep and related things. And he used it in various places in the Gospels. And we could have read the chapter in from John chapter 10, where he spoke about the sheepfold and himself as the good shepherd. He also mentioned, I think, in chapter 9 of Matthew's Gospel, we read that he looked upon the crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It's one of the pictures he often used to bring a spiritual message across. And today we're going to be concentrating on this first few verses of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, but also in conjunction with John chapter 10, which I'm sure is a story you all know well, of Jesus and the sheepfold, and himself being the gate and the entrance to the sheepfold. And I want us to think about how precious this morning to Jesus are his sheep, what he calls his sheep, and the great lengths he goes to find the lost ones, and the care also he provides for them, having found them. And also to think about the great joy that it brings to Jesus and to his Father in heaven each time that another lost one is brought home. So those are the things I'd like us to have in our minds this morning. The chapter we read, which Ben read for us there, is all about lost and found. It's all about lost and found, isn't it? We have three parables about precious possessions which people have lost. And I'm sure at some time in our lives most of us will have lost or at least mislaid something really, really precious to us. Could be our purse with all our bank cards in and all our personal details. I suppose in this day and age we have to think of things like our iPhones and iPads, where we keep so much information and come to rely on them so much. And when we mislay these things, there's always a worry, isn't it, until we know where they are, and a tremendous relief when they're found. And these three parables which Ben's read to us this morning are all about lost and found, precious things which have been lost and found. I suppose the parable of the lost son, there's nothing more precious, I'm sure, to a parent than their child or their children. And also the story of the lost coin. You know, we're not to make money our idol, are we, or become to depend on it, but a certain amount of money is necessary, and to those who haven't got very much or none or not enough, you know, it's a very precious thing. If you've lost it, you're going to go to great lengths to try and find it again. Very precious thing. But the one we're concentrating on is the parable of the lost sheep this morning. And livestock, you know, to the farmer, sheep to the shepherd, tremendously precious things, valuable things. It's their livelihood. It's an investment that they've got in their lives. It's what they make their living from. I'm old enough to remember the harsh winter of 1963. Probably some others around here who can remember it too. And I was brought up on the farm. My father was a farmer in a small way, and I remember I was about 10 years old, I think, and one dark winter's evening, probably in January, with the weather very harsh and inhospitable outside and snow deep on the ground and freezing conditions, a knock came on the door one evening. And my father, he had a farm which on one side was bordered by the Kennetnaven Canal, and never been fenced in because there was no need. The canal was a natural barrier to the cattle getting out. But there was a knock on our door one evening, and someone came to report that his cattle had been spotted in a village a couple of miles away, and what had happened, the canal had frozen solid and they just walked away. And it was horrible outside, and it was a dark winter's evening, but my father and my older brothers, they had to go straight out because the cattle were a valuable thing, and they had to be rescued and brought back into the safety of the farm. And they had to go out with their torches on a dark winter's evening because very valuable to them. And Jesus, he uses this illustration, the value of the sheep to the shepherd. And I think it's something which I can relate to because of my background, but we all live in this part of rural Wiltshire or rural Somerset, and we see the sheep and the other animals out in the field, so it's something we can relate to, I think, to a degree. But Jesus, what Jesus is really thinking about here is not animals. It's not animals, is it? Which we all know. He's thinking about what he's calling his sheep. They're repentant sinners, aren't they? They're repentant sinners, and they've been brought at a great price. And the flock of Jesus is made up of such people. This sheepfold is full of such people. That's who he's out looking for. It's these stray sheep that he wants to bring back into his fold. So the sheep that Jesus is talking about are sinners who have repented of their sins, turned and put their trust in Jesus, and come to follow him. Isaiah tells us that includes all of us. He says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. So that's Jesus wants to bring them into the safety of his sheepfold. So the next question, I suppose, is where is this sheepfold? Where is it? What is this sheepfold? Well, for those who have gone on before us, and for us one day, it'll be, of course, we'll be in the perfect and everlasting care of Jesus and our Father God in heaven, where we'll be no more troubled by all the dangers that lay around us. But in the meantime, it seems to me, that on this earth, the place where Jesus brings his lost and repented sinners for care and safety is to the church. It's into the church. It's a place where they'll be safest, where they should be cared for, where they'd be fed, where they'd have their needs attended to, where they find company of their own kind. And it's very difficult, you know. Sheep are flock animals. They don't do well on their own. There are lots of dangers out there. There's more safety in numbers. And it's the same for the Christian. Many dangers if we try to live the Christian life on our own. In the natural world, the sheep, you know, in Bible times, they used to be troubled by wolves and bears and lions. We read about in the Old Testament, probably still the same today in some parts of the world, I don't know. But in our own land, we don't quite have those things, but there's still lots of dangers out there for the sheep on its own, out in the countryside. You know, first thing that comes to mind are the foxes, aren't they? They're always out there on the prowl trying to find something to feed themselves and their young on. Stray dogs, you read in the newspaper sometimes, getting in amongst the flock. Even nowadays, if you watch Countryfile and on the news too, I think, you know, there are rustlers out there trying to take them away. Again, going back to my own background, my father didn't keep sheep, but I had an older brother who worked on a large local farm, and he used to help with the flock. And sometimes, as a teenager, I would go out with him on his rounds over the hills. And what we were looking for, and especially in the winter time, when the sheep have all their wool, you know, if they get over on their backs with their legs in the air, they're stuck there. They're so broad in the back, they can't get up again. And they just fill with air. And if they're left there long enough, they'll die. There's natural dangers out there for the sheep. And too, for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus. Lots of dangers out in the world. Holds lots of dangers for our souls, you know. There's rustlers out there looking for us, aren't there? There are those who would try to take us away from Jesus and from the fellowship of our own kind. There's the seductions of the worldly attractions and pleasures. Everything looks so attractive, doesn't it? Grass looks greener. We feed our souls on all the wrong kind of things if we spend too much time out there alone. You know, even those who come under the care of a good shepherd, who've come into his church. You know, we don't live in the church, do we? We have to go out into the world. So there are dangers out there. And we have to go out amongst those dangers to do our daily business, live our daily lives. But always, the place where we need to return to, the place that Jesus has appointed as his sheepfold on earth, for his people to be cared for, have their wounds attended to be fed and built up. It has to be the church of Jesus Christ. The sheepfold of the Good Shepherd is the place where Christians are fed and cared for. You know, and as we look into these sheep, we could put them into four categories, I think. We could put them into four categories. We've already mentioned the ones who've gone on before, and they're in perfect safety. Care, all their needs attended to forevermore. But that leaves us with another three we can consider this morning, I think. And I've divided them up like this. It's those who are currently in his fold, in the church, under his care, enjoying all the benefits that he would give us. There are those who have been there but have wandered away. And thirdly, there are those who haven't yet come into the sheepfold, who are yet to come in. So before we consider them, I think we firstly need to be clear about where and what is the church? What is the sheepfold? How do we enter it? How do we enter it? Are we talking about the church? We're not talking about the building, although it does afford us, doesn't it? You know, shelter from the wind and the weather and from the noises and the things that are going on outside, but that's not the shelter Jesus is providing. It's the people, isn't it? The old saying, it's people, not steeple. It's the people. How do we come into that community? How do we enter that care? Simply by coming along Sunday by Sunday and meeting with them? Will that do it? No, that doesn't do it. You know, sad, it's a very sad thing, but it's possible. It's possible for a person to attend the building, the church building, meet with God's people week by week for years and years without ever being in the sheepfold of Jesus Christ and experiencing the care and attention that we find there. So how do we come in? Well, we relate back to John chapter 10 again. We relate, we enter the sheepfold by responding to the call of Jesus Christ. To his call to turn from our old way of life, from the sins and pleasures of the world, to confess our failings and our faults and to put our trust in him and obey him. Obey him by turning around and living that new life, by being baptized and experiencing the new life he gives us. The Bible says being born again. Being born again. We can't be born naturally into the sheepfold because we were born to a family that comes along to church every day. That doesn't bring us under the care of Jesus. We can't accidentally wander in. We can't accidentally wander in. We've all gone astray, Isaiah tells us. And there's only one way, Jesus himself tells us, that we can enter the sheepfold and come under his care. It's by him. He is the gate. We belong to him. We're his. And he will lead us in. And he'll lead us in rejoicing. That was a wonderful thing this morning, wasn't it? All those lost and founds, they all ended with rejoicing. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people. Has there been rejoicing in heaven over your repentance this morning? I trust that we've all brought joy to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his Father in heaven by coming to him, letting him lead us home to that place where we can be cared for. So why is it safer? What are the benefits that those of us who have come into the sheepfold, what do we find there? Well, first of all, I think it's a place where we can be fed. Our souls and our spirits can be fed on good and wholesome food. You know, in the natural world, a healthy diet is essential, isn't it, for healthy and good living, for living a full life. A healthy diet is essential. So much so, health foods become a big business. And the same applies to our souls. The same applies to our souls. God's word, which we turn to week by week, it contains everything we need for our spiritual lives. Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Every word of Scripture is useful. And the church is the place where we should be fed on it. That's the place where we should be able to drink it in, to hear it expounded, where we should be able to digest it, recommend it to each other. Maybe it comes over to us, things we've read over and over again, with a new flavor and a new insight. Maybe God will speak to us in a fresh way from a scripture we know we've known from our youth. It's a place where we can come to hear God's word expounded. It's a place where we come to find more of what God has for us in our lives, what he has for us for our good, to build us up and to help us. We can do it alone to a degree. We can turn to God. We can read his word. But there's something special when we do it in fellowship. It just seems to be God's appointed way. You know, fellowship lunches, I think we've benefited from them, haven't we, over the last year or two? They've been a tremendous, I think, tool in building us up as a fellowship here. Eating together, something special about eating together. There's also something special, I think, about feeding on God's word together. Yes, I hope you do it individually, day by day, but there seems to be something special when we come together as a group of people to consider the word of God together. It seems to do something, I think, for us, both as individuals and as a group of people. So the benefits for those of us who have come into the sheepfold, who have heard the call of Jesus and followed him, is that we find fellowship, we find company. You know, sheep, they like to be together. They like to be amongst their own kind. And I think for the Christian, it should, and I hope it is, a joy for you to spend time with your brothers and sisters, brief though it may be, week by week, to share with each other, to talk about the things of life, to rejoice and celebrate with each other, or to mourn with each other, whatever the case may be, to comfort each other, to encourage each other. Hebrews 10:25 tells us we shouldn't forsake meeting together like some do, but continue to meet and exhort one another. Encourage and exhort one another. Help each other in our struggles. Just to talk with like-minded people is a great thing, isn't it? These are some of the benefits that are found for those of you who are in the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. You'll find warmth for your souls. You'll find shelter. You'll find safety. You'll find attention. You know, the Good Shepherd, he goes to tremendous lengths to rescue his sheep. It's a source of rejoicing to him when one's found. And having found them, he's not just going to leave them to their own resources. He's going to take care of them. The Lord Jesus is going to, as an ongoing care for his people. And the church is the place he's appointed for us to come, where we can find the things we need for our souls. In the sheepfold, there's protection, warmth of his love, and nursing back to health and strength and ongoing care. Sheep themselves need regular attention. You know, they need their feet attended to. They need to be dipped to have the parasites taken off of them year by year. They have to be sheared to keep them in good condition. They need regular attention to keep them in tip-top condition. So do we Christians too. We need regular attention. We need the maintenance that can be found, I hope can be found and is found, in the sheepfold, which is the church of Jesus Christ. Those who have been brought home rejoicing by the Good Shepherd, they find good food, good company, warmth, shelter, protection, and care. David puts it beautifully in Psalm 23, doesn't he? That psalm we all know by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He wants to care for us. He wants to give us the best life possible. And we need help for that. And the help is found amongst his people, gathered week by week. These are the benefits that are enjoyed by those of us who have been brought home rejoicing already by the Good Shepherd. I hope you're among them. Well, we all know, don't we, that sadly as we go on through our Christian lives, we come across Christians who have been born again and turn to Jesus and put their trust in him. But something seems to happen which draws them away. And I think it was Richard last week who said, made the observation in his sermon that that doesn't happen overnight. You know, we don't often wake up in the morning and say, today I've finished with Jesus, I'm not going to follow him. It's something that happens bit by bit. And we come back again to the attractions of the world. There are so many beautiful things out there, aren't there? Great things out in the world. Very attractive things. But it's a fatal attraction. It's a fatal attraction for the Christian. The things of this world are beautifully packaged, and they look great. And much of it, many of them, I have to stress, can be really enjoyed by the Christian in a right way. But the more we're attracted by them, the further we get drawn away, bit by bit, day by day, gradually, until we find them becoming more attractive than the things of God. And we get drawn further and further into the world until we can remove ourselves if we're not careful from the care of the Good Shepherd. And maybe we can be fine for a while. This can go on well. We can stay away from the church. We can read our Bibles. We can pray. Maybe we'll pop into a church somewhere when it suits us. But it's a gradual thing. We can't maintain our souls alone. You know, the story's told, and you've probably heard it before, of a pastor who had a visit one winter's evening from one of his flock, if you like, who was going that way. He hadn't been coming to the services for some time. And he visited the pastor, and they were sat in front of the coal fire. And he was telling the pastor, I'm fine, I haven't been to church, but I'm still with God, I'm still reading, I'm still praying. And the pastor didn't say anything, but he took a pair of tongs from the hearth, and he took a coal out of the coal fire, and he just placed it in the hearth. And they just sat there and watched it. You know, and the fire continued to glow and to thrive and to give heat. But the coal on its own gradually faded. It gradually faded away until all the warmth and the light was gone from it. That's what happens to the Christian who removes themselves from the family of God. We can't be Christians alone. On our own, we soon lose our glow and start falling into bad habits. Until eventually, maybe one day, hopefully, we realize, like the lost son, that we're in error and we've gone wrong. But it's a difficult place to get to. And, you know, the prodigal son, very brave, isn't it? Pride comes in. We've made a mistake. We don't like to admit it. He was very brave. He admitted his mistake and went home looking for forgiveness. And that's not easy. But sometimes, for the Christian who removes himself from the sheepfold, it's a necessary step that has to be taken. It's the place where you'll find help to find your way back. You know, there are well-meaning people in the world. Well-meaning people in the world. But the advice they give with regard to spiritual matters is not likely to be good advice. It's not likely to be good advice. I mean, they say things like, God doesn't want you to be unhappy. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I suppose technically those things are true. It's certainly true that God doesn't want us to be unhappy. I think that's certainly true. But what God, I think, knows, which we don't always keep sight of, is that it's impossible to be happy for the Christian in the world. You have to take my word for that. I know, because I tried. If you're a child of God, you will never find true happiness in the world. You will need to come back to his people. Where is happiness to be found? David, King David, he knew. In Psalm 16, he knew where the fullness of joy was. He says it's in his presence, with a capital H. It's in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. The ways of the world look attractive, but it's a fatal attraction. Leads to death. But the wonderful thing is, you know, he never abandons us. If you are a child of his, wander as you may, he won't abandon you. He won't rest until we're found and restored. Now, a wonderful thing. We're more precious to him than the lost sheep is to the ordinary shepherd. There's real rejoicing in heaven each time a lost one is found. Search parties are constantly out under the supervision of Jesus, looking for those who have gone astray or have yet to come into the sheepfold. There are those who are yet to come in. You know, there are those who belong to Jesus. They've been bought, they've been paid for, but they've got no idea they're his property. They're not yet in their proper place. They're probably out of place where they are. They're probably unhappy and unsettled, but they belong to Jesus. And the search parties are out under the supervision of Jesus Christ looking for them. I hope we're in that search party, each and every one of us. I hope we all have a real compassion for the lost. There are those there who don't know it, but they belong to Jesus. Jesus has sheep out in the world who have no idea they belong to his flock. They're there, they're out of place, but Jesus knows they're his. He's got the receipt, hasn't he? He's got the nail prints in his hands and the blood stains. And they will be found. they will be brought home, and there will be rejoicing. You know, it's a wonderful statement, isn't it? My sheep know my voice, he says. We just know it when Jesus calls, and he will bring them under his care and protection. You know, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's going to go on bringing them in until every last one's safe. And a great privilege is for us that we're involved in that search. That's a wonderful privilege. Do we realize what a privilege that is, that he's chosen to use us to go and find his sheep? I think if we really realized the privilege status we have, then we would be much more passionate in the work. The good shepherd loves to bring joy to the Father and to the angels in heaven. You and I need to have that passion too, and that desire to bring joy to our Father. The good shepherd. The good shepherd. How good is he? Well, go into that chapter in John's Gospel, chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. A man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. You can't be a better shepherd than that, can you? The Lord Jesus is the perfect shepherd. May all of us, if we're not already under his care, if we're not already in that sheepfold, may we hear his call and follow him in and be content to be there. May we realize that this is the place that he has chosen and appointed for us to be fed, for us to be built up, for us to receive the attention we need. And may we as a church be faithful in what he's asking us to do, and show real care to those he's pleased to bring in. It's a real privilege when God brings someone in, a repentant sinner, to be amongst us. May we be faithful in their care, and in the care of all those who are already in the sheepfold that we have the privilege of being in here. And may we have the same passion for the lost, to go and find those lost ones, as he would have us to do, under his direction. May they be as precious to us as they are to him.